that precious name of your son, Jesus. We are just so thankful, Lord God. Thank you for the praise and the worship and song. Lord, thank you, God, that your spirit is what gives all the power. There's nothing else, Lord Jesus, but this love that truly is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Nothing more powerful, nothing more igniting, God, and Lord, soothing, but yet all powerful, Lord, for this passion and pursuing to understand it's not of us, it's you. It's you. And Lord, to understand how your son has been drawn to us in such desire. Ages past, from the foundation of the world, seeing us in love in him. Oh God, it just is something that, Lord, only your truth can minister to us. And only your truth, Lord God, can hold us together in it. But Lord, I just praise you with my brethren today for this knowledge of your son's love to us. Lord, help us just to go on in it. And Lord, you are the one that is the God of increase. Lord, increase it in us till you come. Let us wait patiently. Let us abide, God, in that faithfulness of your faithfulness. And Lord, that expectation of the lover of our soul. And we love you in Jesus' name till we see you. Amen. Praise God. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians today, the 15th chapter. So beautiful, the ministering that the Lord did through the Apostle Paul in a place he didn't necessarily want to be. But I'm so thankful he didn't miss Corinth, aren't you? Hallelujah. And isn't that our lives so true? Oh, I want to be over here. He said, oh, no, you ain't going to receive what I've got for you over there. You're going to be in the uncomfortable zone, and then praise God, I'm going to be magnified in your infirmity. So we thank God in that. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 22, it says here, for as in Adam all die. So in that, all die in Adam. But yet even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. So, it tells us here that every man is in his own order. That means every man is in his own rank. It even gets more specific. It gets down to troop, every man in his own little band. Every person will be in their own company. So, yes, just right there. Right there. Besides all the other places, there are ranks in the resurrection. And that's what is being stated here, that it's so sad in Christianity today, the majority of Christianity. Oh, well, everybody's going to go at the same time. Everybody's going to receive the same reward. No, they're not. You've not even read the Word of God. That's not how this works. Why would the Lord encourage every child of God? And every child of God is born just that, a child. You're a baby, an infant, all right? But every single one of his children, there's one thing he wants for them, and that's them to grow up and to grow up fully and to grow up in the measure and the stature and the fullness of that life that lives in them, that life of Christ that lives in them, that we would speak, rejoice in that truth in love and grow up into him, Christ, in all things. It's all in him, but thanks be to God, it's us in Christ and Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we have this drawing, we have this truth, we have this evidence that every man is going to be drawn to the Lord and every one, and we're talking about of men, of those men that have this faith that God has given to us, will be drawn to him in their own company, praise be to God. Now, going on in verses 41 and 42, it tells us that not only is every man going to be in his own order or in his own company, each and every one is going to be in a specific glory. So if you go to verse 41, it says, there is one glory of the sun. Oh, yes, there is. And you think of the sun. The sun emits a light from within. Amen. It's not a reflected light. It is a light from within, praise God, and it gives that light, hallelujah. It has that glory in that capacity within. But then it goes on and says, and then there is a glory of the moon. We see that as a beautiful thing. I love looking at the moon. I love it, the colors of the moon and all of those different things that we see, the shape, sometimes a sliver, a half, a full. Sometimes you can't even see it. But we see that when we can, it's not a light that is given of itself. It is a reflected glory. So it says here, there is a glory of the sun, there is a glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. So right there we see, not only is every man going to be in his own company, there's going to be a different glory upon each one of them. And we understand within these companies, you have to take it in the same context. These companies are going to have a different glory. And it's the amount of glory that that company has grown up into. As there's a glory of the sun, there's a glory of the moon. You think of all of the different companies, these wonderful companies, these ranks, if you will, that we see throughout Revelation. We see the glory of those 24 elders that are round about the throne, and they have a crown. And then we see the glory of these four living ones that are in the midst of the throne. Praise be to God. And oh, the rejoicing and the worshiping that's going on there. But then you have to go a few chapters later to find the next company that's seen in heaven. And that is a company that's known as the innumerable multitude. And they're not around that throne. They're not in the midst of that throne. It says that they're standing before the throne. They're standing before the throne. And they don't have crowns. They don't. They have palms. And they wave them. And their song is the song of salvation to our God. Because that's the glory that they received. They received. And there's such a glory, praise God. Being born again, being born of God, hallelujah. That's glory. But it's the beginning. It's the beginning. And the Lord, as we know, for every child of God, they weren't born, no, a servant. They were born with the life of Christ in them, the life of Christ in them. And that life of Christ in them is Lord of all. That's why you're born Lord of all, because it's the life of Jesus Christ that was born in you the moment you accepted Christ as Savior. But the Word of God tells us very clearly that if you remain a child in knowledge of who you are in the Word of God, you'll be nothing more than a servant in that kingdom, even though you should have been ruling and reigning. Amen. The Lord doesn't tell us those things in Galatians chapter 4. He doesn't tell us those things all throughout the Word of God. That's why you need to move on from the milk and go on to strong meat. That's what this gospel is. That is the teaching, praise God, of the Apostle Paul. That was the witnessing of the Apostle Paul. It was the mystery that was hidden back there and sown all throughout the Old Testament. All the glory was there, but they could not see it because it wasn't for that time. But it says they wrote those things for us. There was a faithfulness to that. There was an encouragement that God had given to them. You know, there we were in Daniel on Wednesday night, and I love that, brother, so much. You talk about a heart that was fully passionate for everything that God would give, and even more. He said, Lord, you've given me this, and I want more. And that was Daniel, because he knew. And you think about what God gave him. He gave him that knowledge, he gave that understanding, and he gave him wisdom. And that was all he was going to feast upon. He wasn't going to have the thing of the kingdom. He wanted only the thing of God. He wanted his best. And he could see that there was more. But the Lord said, now, Daniel, that's right. It's not for you, son. And Daniel wept. He wept. I'm sure he wept in joy, and I'm sure he wept in a longing. And praise be to God, can't we have that kind of heart as well, too? Say, oh, Lord, I do. I weep in joy for what you see, but I weep in longing to see you. So it's not only that we're going to be in an own company. We see here that there is a specific glory that's there. And in this meeting, and I thank God for it, we preach the entire Word of God. It may not be popular to some. Matter of fact, it's not popular to most. They don't want it. Start hearing that, oh, you're trying to divide things. No, there's nothing. There's a oneness in the Lord. He said, I would that all men be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. He wants you to have this place because you were born to have it. You weren't born that servant waving a palm singing salvation to our God. You were born for salvation with eternal glory. That's what you were born for. To have a crown, to rule and reign jointly together. I mean, just put it together. Just read the Word of God. Let the Spirit read it to you. If you were just born to be a servant, He would have said, that's great. You're born of God and you're born a servant. But He didn't say that. He said, you're born Lord of all. And the reason is, and we understand this as we grow up in the Lord, it has nothing to do with my natural life, my natural ability, anything physical at all. It's all because of Jesus' life that's in me. And there's only one life. That's His life. And that life, praise God, is a life that's not seated before Him in the heavens in Christ. It's not standing. We're not standing before Him waving palms together in Christ. Right now, we are seated in the heavens with Him right there in Christ. I mean, how powerful is that? Everything about what He's given right from the get-go, it wasn't to earn, it wasn't to merit. You were born in it. Born in it. It was all there. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. That is done. All of it. All of it, all of it, all of it, all of it. And that's why, by the grace of God, I thank the Lord that we stand in that truth. I thank God that this isn't some robotic religious kind of ceremony that we come in here with. Not at all. It's not something that this is what my denomination teaches. This is just the way it is. No. Go by what does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? What is written? Amen. What is written? And I thank God, you know what's written? There is a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There is. There is a mark for the prize in that high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's clear that there is an out resurrection. Thank you, Jesus. That we're living for that by the grace of God. If you're following Paul as he followed Christ, it was the one thing. It was his life. If by any means I might attain to that resurrection. And I thank God that that is so sweet and wonderful. That's what he's put upon our hearts. There isn't anything else. There isn't any other gospel. There isn't any other message. There isn't any other faith but that faith. And I thank God immensely with you. That it's clear that those that are loving, there's ones that are loving Jesus as a bridegroom. Amen? I'm with them here today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it's clear, praise God, that Jesus Christ is going to have a bride that will be and is His glory. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 21. And let's read how he describes her. In Revelation 21, we get this wonderful, wonderful vision that was given, and not just a vision, but it was the evidence of what was coming to John, that precious disciple. And in Revelation 21, verse 9, John says, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And here you go, having the glory of God. Having the glory of God. Now, go on back to Corinthians, but we'll go to the 2 Corinthians there letter in chapter 3. And so this precious, beautiful bride, this Lamb's wife, she has the glory of God. But how did that come to be? How did she grow into that? How was she clothed with that beauty and that majesty that John had to be taken in spirit, taken to a high mountain, had to look up to see the descending, wonderful bride of Christ? Well, here we have in one sweet, simple little verse in chapter 3, verse 18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. So that's what this doctrine does. We are all today, by the grace of God, we are looking into that glass. We're looking into that mirror. You're looking into Christ in you. And let me tell you something, Christ in you, the hope of glory is right there. Right there, all of it. All of it, little Lord of all. It's right there. It's right there. Right there. Amen? That life in us. So here we go. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image. And what image were we just looking at? The glory of the Lord. Amen? We are looking at that image, and it means that wonderful same sonship, praise God, hallelujah image. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, that's the glory to glory that's going all over the place in here. Because that, by the grace of God, is what we look into. It's that gospel. Hallelujah. That was the same thing when Paul was taken up into the third heaven. And the Lord showed him that vision, praise God, of this fully mature, wondrous Son of God. That this truth that was given to Paul in love would transform his life to be. And Paul could only say, I glory in that man. See, it's not in this physical man, but it's in Christ in me, the hope of glory. I glory in that. That's the life of Jesus in me. And life of Jesus in me growing fully up. And I know by the grace of God, it couldn't be any other life. And it has to be his work. It has to be his grace. It has to be his mercy. Everything about it, praise God, he's come to live in me. Don't you just love the perfection here and how perfectly this is? Because this follows everything that there is but one glory, and it's him. See, all the glory is him. Even the glory that she has is Christ in her, the hope of glory. So it's not like there's only but one glory. That's it. But thanks be to God, I'll tell you what, that glory grows so much in that immensity. That matter of fact, she is the only one, if you study these things out, about her clothing, that wondrous wife for the Lamb of God, she has clothing called lampros white. Lampros. There's only two that have that lampros white that are mentioned in the whole Word of God. It's his bride and Jesus Christ. That's it. The other white, and I will tell you, the other white that's worn by the 24 elders, that's worn by the innumerable multitude, you look it up, it's leukos white. It's leukos. It's a wonderful white. It's a wonderful, glorious, but it's not to the stunningness as the bride and the son. I'm just given the word of God. If you have something with that, take it to Jesus. Now, this is how perfect it is. And this is why she is changed into the same likeness. She is changed into him because he is the glory. And I thank the Lord that we speak this truth in love. This is what God, by his grace, by his Spirit, we preach this bridal message. And we grow up into him in all things. And if we're growing up into him in all things, we grow up into him in full glory. It's the simplicity of the gospel of Christ. It's just right there. Amen. And we thank God for it. And we say, Lord, thank you for just laying this out. And he said, just walk in it. Just walk in it. Hallelujah. Now we still might be sitting here. And we might say, well, how can this really be? How? I just still see. And we always talk about, I can't get my mind around this. You'll never get your mind around this. You'll never get that mind around this. Here's the mind. This is the mind. It's the mind of Christ. It's the Word of God. Is this going to think for you? Is this going to be his mind that lives in you? Or is it going to be still dominated by your mind? By your reality. See, your reality is always short of God's promise. Always. Always. And that's why by his grace, step out in faith and believe in the promises of God, which are yea and amen. And he gives them freely. All he wants you to do is just to enjoy them. And I praise him that he's given them so freely. But see, we can sit here and say, how can it be? How can this glory be in me? How is one like me ever going to be that glory that shall be revealed to him? To him. Oh, yes. Because he's going to get his glory. Oh, yes, he's going to get his glory. Well, here's how. Go on over to John 17. And I think sometimes we read past this a little bit too quickly, and it's so sweetly stated by our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our precious Jesus speaking to his Father. And in John 17, 22, this is how, praise God, not only can you be, we should be, this full glory given to him. Jesus says to the Father, and the glory which thou gavest me, Father, I have given them. If that's the first time it really hits your heart, praise God. If it hit it again, praise God, praise God, praise God. The glory that you've given me, Father, did it say I will give them? That say I might give them? I love it. Done. Done. I have given them. I have given them. Yes, that's how I could grow up from glory to glory. That's how I can be presented to him as his glory. And it's all because he gave me his glory. He didn't give me some other glory. He didn't give me a type of glory, because there is but one glory, and he gave me his glory. Oh, yes, he did. He gave you his glory. And I think this about our Lord. We can't be anything unless the Lord gives it to us. You can't be, because it's all by grace. It's all by grace, what? Through faith. So see, all that grace is there, because the Lord said, I've given you all grace. All grace. Amen? We change from glory to glory into the same image, the glory of the Lord image. Amen? We grow up into him in all things, not some things, not part things, that we would grow up in the measure and the stature and the fullness of him unto a perfect man. I mean, that's how full can full be? I mean, this is full maturity. That's what the bride is. She's like him. She has the same thoughts. She has the same mind. She has that same passion. She believes the Father the same way. Praise be to God. I am called to rule and reign with your Son. Hallelujah. Right there in the midst of the throne. When he receives that throne from you, praise be to God, he's going to share it with me. He's going to share it with me. I have the same thoughts. I have the same mind. We have the same fellowship. I have the same communion. That's what I have with him, because by the grace of God, I understand I got all grace. I mean, I got all grace. Isn't that marvelous? Now, by the grace of God, hallelujah, Lord, help my unbelief and let me believe. Because it's never going to happen unless by grace through faith. Faith. It's all sitting there. Right back to where we began today. Canaan, the promise, was sitting right there. You couldn't deny that they had the promise there. It was there. They could see it. They could see it. But they didn't have the faith to take it. They heard about it. They heard about it for years, centuries. What God was going to do, I'm going to bring you out. Amen. That promise to Abraham, let me tell you something. It's my covenant. It's my covenant with him. Huh? Praise God. Well, I'm telling you, to his people today, and I will say this, you've got a marriage covenant. You really do. It's a promise. It's a promise. It's right there. And all it is faith to believe it. It never changes. It's by grace through faith, by grace through faith. And here's the promises for Israel, and here's the promise, praise God, to these Gentiles sitting here in the church age. Huh. Oh, I thank him. Oh, I thank him. Now, since he gave me his life, and since he gave me his very life that lives in me, I'll tell you one thing I can conclude. I've got everything. I've got everything of God that he could ever give. Amen. Let's do that one more time. He gave me his life. I have his life living in me. I believe I can truly say I have everything of God that he could ever give. Because he put it all in his son. Amen. Didn't he say that? Where'd he put his son? Believer, in you. That's the life. And I'm so thankful in doing that. I love that I am crucified with Christ. See, I don't even have to worry about Jesse anymore because he really is dead. He's dead. Dead, 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 dead. I can drag the dead carcass around, but the carcass is dead. The old man is dead. I'm brand new. Oh, I love flying and soaring in his mercy and grace. Been there. Took off, though, Dwayne. Ain't coming back by the grace of God. No way. Oh, hallelujah. So I am blessed. I have been blessed. You have been blessed. With all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Can we just settle it? All right. Come on. Praise God. He did not hand you a palm. He gave you a crown. You had to set the crown down to take the palm. You really did. And you don't want to do that. He's given you too much. You want that crown because that's what he won for you to have. So that I have all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ, he gave those to me. Then Romans 8:32, I can receive this too, that he that spared not his own son. See, God didn't spare his own son, did he? No, he didn't. But he delivered him up for us all. So if it's him that did that and delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things. And see, that's why he gave us the Holy Ghost, amen? To really understand and see all of the freely given, all the blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Because there'd be no way that I could see those things without the Holy Ghost. So in Christ, we have it all. Amen? Amen, we do. We have it all. And you think about what we have in him. He gave us his rest. He gave us his peace. He gave us his love. He gave us his joy. He gave us his patience. He gave us his long-suffering. He's given us everything because everything is in that life. And I thank God that he's given us his power, the power to perform it. The power to perform it. You know, that's the very power of his resurrection. I'll tell you what. If the power of the Holy Ghost can raise him from the dead,
If he can raise him from the dead, he can raise me from my unbelief. Oh, yes, he can. And I thank him for that. And time again, he's done that for me. The power of his might. I witnessed that on Wednesday night. They're doing a little project in the house. I had two brothers in the house. And I wasn't feeling very kind that day. I sorely. Just being like you. How's that? You know what I'm talking about. Wasn't pleasant. Kind of down. Wearing it right on my face. But God had a discussion. And so we had to have a question asked about something. And God brought up the 24th chapter of Genesis. The bride for Isaac. Witness that sweetly to this brother that was there in the house. And before I got to that very last part, which is, you know, sometimes we get trapped so much in thinking about this journey. But you go through that whole section of scripture, all those verses. Forget exactly how many. I think there's about 70. Maybe 71. All those verses are all about the proposal, all about the love. Even though that was just a moment of time that was witnessed to her, a moment of time that she witnessed to that to her family, the journey was weeks, but the journey was one half of one verse. I said that, and that brother that was standing over there on the other side just shot off in the Holy Ghost. In that language, radiating through the home, radiating through me. And I did. I turned to that other brother who was still kind of shocked and looking at it and everything. And I said, man, did that edify you like it edified him and edified me? I said, I got some good edifying right there. And thanks be to God, my whole day changed. The power of the Holy Ghost. And brothers and sisters, see, it's that love and that power that we begin to really believe God. And see, when we really believe God, we know that when he gives, his gifts are without repentance. I mentioned it earlier on Friday night. I'll tell you what, we had a sweet time together. We were there in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And it says, what God blesses, he blesses forever. Do we need more rocking chairs of grace around here? You know, Brother Hill would always say, I'm in the rocking chair of grace. I didn't want Brother Hill just to have one because I knew I had one. But I can stand and look at it, or I can get in it and rock. I think we're getting somewhere. Hallelujah. But see, when he gives, it's all freely given. And the one thing about the Lord, he does not give to get. He doesn't. He gives because he loves. That's why he gives. He loves. And that's the glory. Hallelujah. It's his grace. And it's all the glory of his grace. And he gave us all grace. So what he wants is all the glory of his grace. He wants vessels to be to the praise and the glory of his grace. I'll let you finish this. Whom he has justified? He's going to? Oh, he did that. Yeah, he did. He glorified. Oh my. He glorified. But you know, I was thinking, but as the word of God says, but yet, you know what? It yet doth not appear. It just don't yet appear, right? Think about the Father even with his own Son. He's put all power in him. All reigning. Every bit of authority. It's there. But it's not yet revealed, is it? No, not yet. But you know, we've been talking about and been rejoicing in, there's an unveiling coming. It's that good old word, apocalypse. See, that should always excite you, not put fear upon you. Apocalypse is unveiling. And that power someday is going to be unveiled completely, isn't it? Amen? And it's just like the unveiling, praise God, of his wife. Oh, yeah. Romans tells us it's the manifestations of the manifestation of the sons of God. Amen? That Philippian, the Philadelphia church, it's so wonderful. He said, I'm going to make known to all that I have loved thee. The unveiling. So, you know what? I believe as the word of God tells us, and I think we can reckon this together, that the temporal sufferings, we all got them. Amen? Amen? Amen. Instead of doing with this with the temporal sufferings, because see, that's that myrrh that'll distract you from getting to that door of the bridegroom. It's my crown. That's my crown. The temporal sufferings aren't worthy to be. They're not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in you. And it will be my greatest delight to share in that with you, won't it? Amen? Oh, from glory to glory. To glory, to glory. To glory, to glory. Into his same image. Jesus. Oh God. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just stand and worship the Lord together. Praise you, Jesus.